Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, May 18, 2015. A renegade South Sudan army commander is accusing Juba of bombing civilian targets in Upper Nile State.
The government of Juba, they came yesterday and they bombed the area of IDPs, the one that ran away from Malakal, who are being served by international community in terms of food and others, in Walshuluk and in Ituok.
And the SPLA spokesman says General Johnson Oloing has defected from the South Sudan Army in Upper Nile State.
The fighting is ongoing now in Malakal, and it is a matter of time the rebellion of Johnson Oloing will be put to an end.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's peace process is facing yet another serious setback. This weekend, fierce fighting raged in Malakal between forces loyal to renegade SPLA commander Johnson Oloing and the South Sudan Army. Some sources say Riek Machar's rebel group sided with Oloing's forces, which captured the Upper Nile State capital after heavy clashes over the weekend. A spokesman for Oloing's forces says hundreds of people who have fled the fighting in Malakal are now coming under attack from the South Sudanese Army. Brigadier General Nyagwal Ajak Deng says his forces, which he calls Aguilik, on Sunday shot down two SPLA helicopter gunships in Fashoda County in Upper Nile State. He says the attack helicopters were being used to bomb camps for people who were displaced by the fighting in Malakal.
The government of Juba, they came yesterday and they bombed the area of IDPs, the one that ran away from Malakal, who are being served by international community in terms of food and others, in Walshuluk and in Ituok, the area and Kodok. And also they bombed in Ditang and Malakal. Ditang is just a few minutes from Malakal town. What happened is that the two planes were gunned down, the one during midday and the other one around 5 in the evening. Those gunships were gunned down over the Fashoda County.
Who was operating the planes?
The government of Juba.
So the plane belongs to the government of South Sudan?
They brought them through Uganda.
Yeah, you're saying that they bombed an IDP camp. How many people were injured or killed in the IDP camps?
No, they were fearing. They were bombing very fast. So they dropped only one bomb each, and then they could not have much effect. No, the issue is that not because we joined the SPLM in opposition, but maybe there are some communication or because of the decision that we have taken, because we made it very clear that we are going to cooperate with all the forces that are fighting for the downfall of the government of Juba. We are a separate movement. We are called Agolik Forces.
Okay, so you're telling me you are called Agolik Forces and you are fighting independently, but you're joining hands with SPLM in opposition?
Yeah, we can cooperate with anybody, not only the SPLM in opposition, but we can cooperate with anybody. It could be the level of cooperation only. But it's still at the early stage, there's nothing much up to now. Every procedure has to be worked out because we did not plan to break away in any way. But we have been frustrated by the government for all what has happened. I released a press release. I put the detail of what happened and why there is a problem. It's the government who pushed us out.
So you're saying the government pushed you out. Why did the government push you out?
Simply because of tribalism.
Can you explain that?
We had been going through difficult situations. So the Denka of Upper Nile, the government want to reward them to have our land. And we know the history very well. We know the borders. We know even during colonial times who belong here and there is known. Yeah. But they are grabbing our land. They claim that all the east of the Nile, it belongs to them.
The international community is calling on you, the Agolik forces and the SPLM in opposition forces, to respect international humanitarian law. They are saying there are reports of looting, killings, and raping in Malakal. How do you react to that?
I don't think that is true. It's just a big lie. Because even in Malakal, when misunderstanding started, all the civilians ran to universe because we fought.
They are saying you need to respect humanitarian laws in Upper Nile.
What humanitarian law can we respect? Now, they are the ones who attack us, and we are fighting them. We did not fight anybody because they attack us. It is a self-defense.
Yeah, but the civilians are not
even
armed.
What the SPLM in opposition is writing now is just a lie from them. The fighting is our fighting with the government. Yeah, because it is a result of misunderstanding. So we have been working together. We have salaries with them. Everything. We are one force. So it is an internal misunderstanding. That has nothing to do with SPLM in opposition. The issue of violation is from the government because they attack us. So we have a right of self-defense.
Yeah, but the UN is asking that you spare civilians, that civilians are not armed, that you should not spare them.
It is the government now who is murdering civilians, who is bombarding, who is doing all this. Because all the civilians run to UNMISS. There's no any civilian outside. From then, civilians they are talking about is not there.
Okay.
The civilians that are being killed now, it is the government, with the gunship they brought from Uganda, are doing bombardment, using all kind of everything, because they are desperate.
And
they are the one killing civilians.
Yes, and
you tell us, we kill civilians from where? Which place?
And where is the governor of Upper Nile right now, as we speak with you?
Governor of Upper Nile, I don't know his place. In the government, who knows? Whether he's in Juba, I learned he went to Ethiopia on missions and then returned to Juba. He could be still in Juba.
That's Brigadier General Nyagwal Ajak Deng, spokesman for Agulik Forces, a group loyal to renegade SPLA commander Major General Johnson Oluin. Deng was speaking with me from a known location in Upper Nile State earlier today. Meantime, South Sudan's army says Oluin has defected to Machar's rebel movement. Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba on the government's side of the story on the fighting in Malakal.
SPLA spokesman Philip Aguer says Oluin officially declared himself a rebel against the SPLA and has joined forces with Machar, and Oluin is no longer in the ranks of the SPLA. Aguer says Oluin's defection comes after several attempts to negotiate a peace deal with him following heavy clashes between his forces and those of the Upper Nile State Governor Simon Kunpoch 2 weeks ago.
While Johnson Oluin was in contact with the authorities in Juba, he collaborated with Riek Machar and jointly planned to attack Malakal. I have been meeting with rebel commanders, Karen Okwal and Gabriel Garwich, and Tanginya, Kaldak. They managed to plan attack on Malakal.
Aguer says that Oluin's latest move is a surprise to the army, calling his recent contacts with the SPLA command a deception. Aguer says his defection and a joint attack on Malakal came to pick after a top opposition leader from the Khartoum government visited Oluin in one of the villages in Upper Nile State last Thursday to confirm support of Khartoum's military intelligence for Oluin. Efforts to get comment from Khartoum regarding Aguer's accusation were unsuccessful. Several media reports confirmed that Malakal is under the control of the rebels since fighting intensified over the weekend. But Aguer insists that fighting continues between the SPLA and the rebels throughout Malakal.
If there is fighting in a place, that means two parts are all in the same place. So SPLA is still fighting the rebels in Malakal. The fighting is ongoing now in Malakal, and it is a matter of time the rebellions of Johnson Oluin will be put to an end.
Oluin from the Suluk ethnic community is a former militia leader who fought against President Salva Kiir's administration since South Sudan gained independence from Khartoum in 2011. Oluin was reintegrated back into the SPLA in late 2013 when fighting between Mr. Kiir and his former vice president Riek Machar broke out. But Oloni's forces were mainly left under his control. Oluin was a key player on the final ousting of Machar in Upper Nile State's town of Nasir last year. Machar allegedly made Nasir one of his strongholds in his attempts to seize power from the president in late 2013. Friction between Oluin and government forces started in March when his forces fought with the civilian youth in Akoka County of Upper Nile State. That led to the deaths of at least 20 people. Local communities in Upper Nile State had earlier warned the government to take serious action against the Oluin or risk more deadly fighting in the region. UNMISS spokesperson Ariane Gantaya describes the situation in Malakal as tense, with some civilians seeking refuge at the UNMISS Protection of Civilians site.
The population of Malakal had already deserted the town a few months ago, so it will not be conducive to have them coming back, having the city being under fire.
The fighting in Malakal follows several offensives by both government and rebel forces in several parts of Unity State over the past few weeks. Aid agencies say the situation is hurting their attempts to deliver humanitarian aid to those affected by the fighting. Aguer confirms the SPLA has been pursuing Machar's forces from parts of Bentiu to Lier in Unity State. The International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, fears the latest clashes that forced tens of thousands of people to flee will likely aggravate hunger across the country. ICRC spokesman Powell Kresge says in a statement today that thousands of civilians have been uprooted from Lier in Unity State and Kodok in Upper Nile following the clashes.
We are very worried that this will affect their food insecurity, that will increase the rates of malnutrition, especially among the most vulnerable groups, such as pregnant women, such as children.
ICRC is calling on all the warring parties to respect the operations of the aid agencies in their efforts to deliver aid to the affected people. Kresge says his agency has been forced to scale back its work in Lier due to the uptick in the fighting.
We're forced to put on hold our regular food operations, and this is one of the biggest food operations of the ICRC in the world. We were providing food in Lier to more than 120,000 people.
It is not clear when the fighting will end in Lier or other parts of the state. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Aside from the fighting in Upper Nile, UN UNMISS officials are accusing South Sudanese army of forcing their way into UN protection of civilian sites in Bentiu on several occasions, putting lives of UN personnel and thousands of people sheltering there in danger. Mungume Debs Rakarinj has this report for VOA about increasing security breaches at UN camps.
UNMISS spokeswoman Ariane Quentia says there was no exchange of fire during any of the incursions by government soldiers into the UN Protection of Civilian Site, or POC, in the Unity State Capital.
We had 5 incursions that have been made by suspected SPLA soldiers into the POC sites in Bentiu. Well, they went into the camp, they got into the camp, and immediately UNMISS reacted by sending military there and making sure that the SPLA would leave the area.
SPLA spokesman Kanofil Paguer did not confirm or deny that army soldiers have entered the UN camp in Bentiu. He says it is UNMISS's duty to protect its facilities.
They have Chapter 7 mandate that allow them to protect themselves. They have tanks, they have all the weapons, and if there is a threat to their compound, they should protect themselves.
Quentia says UNMISS is determined to ensure that the more than 50,000 internally displaced persons at the Bentiu site are safe.
We've been erecting fences, and we've been putting very strong lights on to make sure that we could ensure security along the perimeter of this POC site. Unfortunately, the fences have been destroyed a number of times, and the lights have been tempered as well.
The head of UNMISS, Ellen Margaret Loy, last week told the United Nations Security Council that violence and tensions in South Sudan have ticked up sharply in the last few weeks. That includes tensions inside the POC sites. Loy says UNMISS has had to deal with numerous security challenges inside the camps.
The longer the camps exist in their current form, tensions within the camps increase. We are thus experiencing a multitude of challenges in the sites, including crime, gang-related violence, and ethnically-based disturbances.
The UN camp in Bentiu is not the only POC site that has been rattled by insecurity. Earlier this month, one person was killed and at least 60 others injured when local communities fought each other in a POC site in Juba. Quentia says UNMISS officials are working with military and political leaders to ensure that those who are sheltering in the UN camps and those who work there are safe.
Our soldiers and our police being deployed in the POC sites to maintain peace and diffuse tension when there is tension. It is not an easy task.
More than 1.5 million people are internally displaced in South Sudan, and 2.5 million face severe food insecurity, especially in Jonglei, Unity, and Upper Nile states. UNIMI says nearly 120,000 people are sheltering at 7 UN camps around South Sudan. Nearly half of them, 53,000, are in the UN camp in Bentiu. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Parliamentarians instruct various committees to figure out how to fix the deteriorating economy. That story is coming up when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your definition of happiness?
When that person feels like there is nothing to be thinking about, that person is stress-free, that person is like, I'm now myself. That's when that person feels happiness.
Happiness is actually about when your problems are solved. If you feel that your problems are solved or you are capable to solve all your problems, then you can be happy.
My definition of happiness, it is time. This is when a person, you have all your needs and you can have anything you want at any time. That's when you have things like money, you can eat well.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Members of Parliament are trying to curb South Sudan's soaring prices as well as decide who should be held accountable for the growing economic crisis. As Lucy Pony reports for VOA from Juba, various parliamentary committees have been instructed to figure out what caused the economic crisis affecting people in the capital and around the country.
The National Assembly has tasked five parliamentary committees with investigating South Sudan's deteriorating economic situation and received their recommendations by Friday. That information will guide the parliament in coming up with solutions to correct the country's fiscal crisis. The committees include economics and finance, public accounts, energy, mining, commerce and industry, and legal affairs. Tulio Odongi, the government chief whip, says officials entrusted the ministries of commerce, physical infrastructure, health and the Nile Pet Company to import basic commodities into the country through letters of credit issued by the Bank of South Sudan. Odongi and most MPs blame these ministries and the central bank for the rising price of food, fuel and other essential items.
There is a war being fought, an economic war being fought. If we underestimate it, we are agitating the people. The people are really dissatisfied of the rising prices all over.
Odongi is suggesting that a select committee be formed to investigate the source of hyperinflation.
We need these imports to come, not tomorrow, today. The imports have to come into this country to stabilize prices. We have got money. And this money from the line of credit, which is a loan, is given to the central bank to guarantee it. And then we get the letter of credit. We have to have a select and very strong committee, and they will import for us commodities as soon as possible.
MP Gatwech Lamkoch of Nasir County, who chairs Parliament's Energy, Trade and Industry Committee, says his panel is already investigating the matter and will soon present its findings to the full House. He says those blamed for the country's economic woes should be given a chance to explain themselves before a decision is reached.
For lawyers, they know that you cannot even give a fair verdict to somebody before you listen to that particular person. You have to give yourself a listen time. So we are accusing these people that they are the culprit of what is happening, but we have not given ourselves time enough to listen to them.
Some lawmakers believe harsher measures must be taken. Onyoti Adigo, the Assembly's minority leader, points out that the ministers and the central bank governor have been summoned before the House a number of times, but says that's not made much of a difference.
If you need to save this country, you have to start with the central bank, that there is a need to make a motion that the governor of central bank should go away. so that a new man is appointed, which will be directing us properly. But if you continue summoning them to you without taking serious measures, then still this thing will continue, because it is a network between the central bank and the commercial banks and some people in the government.
Onyoti also blames mismanagement of public funds for the current crisis. He says all government officials should utilize the money available for providing basic goods and services.
What brings us currency to us now is only oil, and that oil has gone down. Instead of us controlling the little which comes to us, we are destabilizing the country. In fact, because by this situation, we are encouraging what instability in the country.
Onyoti questions whether money being collected by border agents is being properly disseminated by the Ministry of Finance. He says members of parliament have a duty to respond to the sufferings of their constituents. Parliament will wait to see the recommendations of the five committees before taking action on trying to turn around the economy. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Juba.
An example of how the deteriorating economy is affecting the South Sudanese people is the skyrocketing cost of medicine. In Wau, some people say they can no longer afford medicine that could save their children's lives. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Wau on this latest problem for South Sudan to get over.
Raquel Etom Rabe is the mother of three boys. Last week, when her younger son was diagnosed with malaria, she took him to a pharmacy in Wau to buy a treatment. But when she got to the pharmacy, she was astonished to find out that the price of one course of malaria treatment for children cost 35 South Sudanese pounds, nearly twice as much as it did 2 months ago. Raquel says, medicine's prices these days are a big problem. You might have 20 South Sudanese pounds, but you cannot afford to buy a medicine for your child. She said her son is sick with malaria and she does not have enough money to buy the medicine he needs. Filberto Tibur has run this pharmacy in Wau for more than 3 years. He says many of the drugs he sells are brought into South Sudan from neighboring countries like Uganda, Kenya, and Sudan. Tibur says not only have these expensive gone
We apologize for that technical problem, but moving on, protesters took to the streets of Burundi's capital Bujumbura today against President Nkurunziza's bid to run for the third time. It is the first time demonstrators were back on the streets since a failed coup attempt last week. VOA's Gabe Joslo reports from Bujumbura that military forces took a stronger leading role in preventing demonstrations against the government.
Protesters gathered in the same quarters of the city where they had been demonstrating against President Pierre Nkurunziza for the past 4 weeks, saying his plan to run again violates the law. In past protests, demonstrators have thrown stones at the police from behind makeshift barricades in the streets. Police officers have responded with tear gas and live gunfire. The military has taken a mostly neutral position, standing between protesters and the police to prevent further violence. But on Monday, days after a renegade commander attempted to overthrow the president, the military's role appeared to change. Heavily armed soldiers actively put down the demonstrations, pulling apart roadblocks and dispersing protesters by firing guns into the air. In the Chibitoki neighborhood, resident Blaise Ndesienga told VOA there are divisions among the military here.
We try to analyze the army are divided into groups. The army who are the other side are against the defeat term of Nkurunziza. But this side they are with Nkurunziza.
In the Musaga neighborhood, the split between military divisions became more apparent when foreign journalists saw two groups of soldiers nearly come to blows in a disagreement about how to treat the protesters. The demonstrations themselves have lost a bit of steam since the coup. Only a few hundred people came out Monday in Musaga, one of the hotspots of the protest movement. Many protesters said they did not want to be associated with those who launched the coup, possibly for fear of reprisal. But the message remains the same, according to Claude Ndazeya, a Bujumbura resident who supports the protests. The president himself says that Burundi is a poor country, he said, and he has governed for 10 years, and now he wants another 5 years, but we are still poor. The ruling party should choose another candidate. In another development, Monday, President Nkurunziza announced a cabinet shuffle, replacing his ministers of defense and foreign affairs following the failed coup. The president has pushed on with his plans to run for another term, while regional leaders have urged the country to postpone elections scheduled for the end of June due to the unrest. Gabe Joselo, VOA News, Bujumbura.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Shiite militias are headed to the outskirts of the Iraqi city of Ramadi today after Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi called for support in the aftermath of an Islamic State victory there. The popular mobilization units could boost security in a possible counteroffensive to take back the capital of Anbar province. The same paramilitary groups fought alongside government troops and tribesmen to reclaim Tikrit last month. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry denounced North Korea today for repressing internet freedom for its citizens and condemned the communist country for last year's hacking attack on Sony Pictures in Hollywood. And finally, following episodes of racially charged unrest that brought militarized troops onto the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, and the U.S. government is now imposing new federal restrictions on some military-style equipment for local law enforcement. The federal government is halting funding of gear such as tracked armored vehicles, weaponized aircraft, grenade launchers, and camouflage equipment that an interagency group found eroded public trust in law enforcement. It will also direct equipment, including Humvees and other wheeled armored vehicles, specialized firearms, explosives, and some riot gear. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Juba Wawo Malakal by a group from Unity State. Listening to Unity State Group with that song Juba Wawo Malakal. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Somalia.